Good afternoon. My name is Natasha, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Uncovering Energy Savings in Building Design and Operations conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. Thank you. Ms. Puglisi, you may now begin your conference.
Thank you, Natasha. And this is Gina Puglisi, and I'm the Vice President of Premier Safety Institute. And we are delighted to present this program to you today, which we are partnering with the American Society of Healthcare Engineering, also known as ASHE, to bring you this program, which is part of Premier's Advisor Live programming series. I have just a few quick announcements before we start today's program. The title of today's program is Uncovering and Measuring Energy Savings in Building Design and Operations. After our call today, you're going to get an email that's going to give you some information on how to access today's materials. We are going to have an audio recording of this call as well as an update on the slides. We added a few more slides to the presentation that is on the website now for those of you that wanted to download the slides and follow along rather than follow along with our web portion. And the email that you're going to get after the call is going to have a brief survey about today's program. We'd really like to find out what you think about the program and give us any comments and any recommendations for future programs. So let's get started. I would like to tell you about Premier's energy program to introduce the SPHERE program, and that is the SPHERE standing for Securing Proven Healthcare Energy Reduction for the Ecosystem. And this is part of Premier's Green Healthy program, which was launched in early 2008. And the goals of our program are to help healthcare facilities reduce their energy costs, reduce their energy usage, as well as the related greenhouse gases, to improve the public health related to the emission of these gases, and to increase the use of cleaner and renewable energy. And we have a number of strategies in place to accomplish these goals. Our first strategy is partnering and collaborating with organizations that share our goals so that we can share best practices and solutions. We have partnered with healthcare facilities, professional associations, industry, government, and other organizations, as I said, that share our goals. We are a proud partner of Energy Star, and we have partnered with ASHE and their E2C program, which we are promoting as part of this program, and we've collaborated with Practice Green Health. We also are educating leadership, and we had a conference with a group of thought leaders we brought together to find out what exactly was necessary to really move the agenda for energy, and that included, you know, professional associations and government and industry and healthcare. And they told us that we really need to educate the leadership to support these energy programs all the way down through the organization. So that this program that we'll bring you today is part of that. We're also promoting our benchmarking of energy use using the EPA Portfolio Manager, and also we are offering reverse auctions for energy purchasing so we can get hospitals to buy energy at a lower cost and get some green and renewable energy in the mix, and we're doing that through our partnership with Practice Green Health. Next slide. We have many electronic resources, and they're listed here on this slide with a screenshot of our website. We have information and links to ASHE's E2C program, which Dale will tell you more about. We have many case studies on energy to promote our hospitals, and we have some case studies with companies that have energy solutions in working with healthcare facilities. We have ASHE E2C award-winning case studies, hospitals that have Energy Star achievements, and those that have just achieved energy savings and what strategies they use to get there. We have educational programs. We have audio files that you can download and listen to past programs, lists of our contracted suppliers, Energy Star information, and energy information on the Department of Energy's new Hospital Energy Star Alliance that was just launched a few weeks ago. Next slide. Just quickly, our reverse auction that I mentioned that we offer in partnership with Practice Green Health, we've had some great success in saving hospitals money. Two examples here, Ingalls Hospital and Harvey, we were able to save them $850,000 on their electricity and gas, and also were able to get them 5% electricity from renewable sources at the same price as the traditional electricity, which was really a wonderful accomplishment. And our goal is really to help hospitals save money in their purchases so that they can use that savings to buy their renewable energy, which often costs a little bit more. We were also able to save Covenant $1.6 million on their electricity. Next slide. This particular conference today is part of our Energy Leadership Forum series, and it's a teleconference series that we have developed for senior leadership. All the programs are archived, the audio files and the slides, and a number of handouts and case studies that go with these programs, including today's program. There will be slides from the program as well as a case study that showcases St. Francis Hospital and Health Services, who will be presenting today. We have an upcoming program. Catholic Healthcare West will be presenting on August 19th. They're going to be talking about retrofitting and a cogeneration project of theirs with methane gas waste that they have used for renewable energy. And there's some bullets here of some past programs that we've had on how to save money and what the return on investment is. Geisinger shared how they saved $3 million in their energy-efficient solutions despite doubling their campus size. Ingalls talked about how they saved $800,000 with our reverse auction. And Peace Health talks about the tools that they use for their energy management planning, saving over $1 million and getting $1.2 million in rebate incentives. So lots of wonderful programs that you can download and listen to at your leisure to learn about energy savings. Next slide. Today's program is going to be about energy, and we wanted to showcase our commitment to the environment in showing this program. And this program, as I mentioned, is in partnership with the American Society of Healthcare Engineering. And ASHE shares our goals, and together we are able to reach a much larger audience for the collaboration that's really needed to take energy to the next level. We also want to promote ASHE's E2C Energy Efficiency Award Program, and we also want to promote and share ASHE's goal of a 10% energy reduction and its related environmental and health impacts. This program also is going to promote the use of EPA's Portfolio Manager and tell you a little bit about how that was used. And we're going to showcase St. Francis Hospital and Health Service in Merrillville, Missouri, and their achievements in Energy Star label and also their recognition they got as one of the first Energy Star, one of the first ASHE E2C recognition hospitals. So let me now introduce our faculty, and I will turn it over to them to present. Our first speaker this afternoon is Dale Wooden, and Dale is the Executive Director for the American Society of Healthcare Engineering, and ASHE is a personal membership group of the American Hospital Association with over 10,000 members representing healthcare engineering and facility management professionals. Before he joined ASHE, Dale was the Director of Plant Operations at Northwest Community in Arlington Heights, and he's had over 20 years' experience in healthcare engineering. He's also a national leader. He has served on a number of national advisory committees of Joint Commission, National Fire Protection Agency, American Institute for Architects, and many others, and authored many publications and spoke nationally on a variety of topics on construction and fire modeling, energy, and even waterborne contaminants. So we're delighted to have him with us today and co-sponsoring our program. Gary Thompson is the Director of Building Operations and Safety at St. Francis Hospital and Health Services in Merrillville, Missouri. And Gary began his career in facilities operations in the early 80s in the Air Force, working in nuclear operations. So he comes with a very special expertise before joining healthcare. And he has been committed to reducing the impact that St. Francis has on the environment by reducing their energy and becoming more energy efficient. He also led the efforts at St. Francis to become the first hospital in Missouri to receive the Energy Star label. And in 2006, Gary and his facility were among the 13 organizations that were awarded the first certificate of recognition from ASHI's E2C program for its energy efficiency and specifically their energy reduction of 13%. So I'm going to turn it over now to our faculty, and Dale is going to begin.
Great.
Thank you.
Gina, thank you so much. And folks, thanks for joining us for the next hour or so to talk about energy efficiency, energy savings, and things we can do to work within the healthcare environment to try to take and capture every bit of energy savings we can. Next slide, please. It seems like you can't turn anywhere right now and not see something having to do with energy or climate change or sustainability, that you can't pick up a magazine, you can't pick up a newspaper article, you can't see TV. Anything that you see, it's all talking about energy. It seems like it's so much in front of us right now that it's almost overwhelming at this point. And I think all of this works to try to take and raise our awareness and really kind of capture our attention and say that the energy issues are here to stay. There's something we need to take and address, and it's something we can put our attention into. Next slide, please. I think what we've seen, though, especially lately, is a transition from it mainly being a cry for volunteerism and saying these are things that you can do individually to try to collectively help when it comes to issues of global warming and reduction of energy efficiency and security. And now we're seeing it move into the realm of regulation. So it's going from voluntary to now awareness and moving into action. Just last week, we saw out of the House of Representatives Resolution 2454, the American Clean Energy and Security Act of 2009. And if you want to read something that's pretty long and complicated, go on to the government website and download and read the thing. It's all sorts of, it's far-reaching. There's a lot of stuff in there, everything from stuff that we've seen on the TV about smart grids to a lot of things that we've heard about discussed within the papers in terms of a push for energy efficiency and renewable energy, setting standards for utilities to go ahead and start taking and changing their portfolio from brown power to a combination of a brown and green power at different escalations at 2012 and 14 and 16 and so on. So all these pushes that we're seeing from the federal government. In addition, where this really talks about, and I believe this is the first time in regulation that we've seen this, is the whole discussion of cap and trade. And with that, it brings out a lot of things that are going to become just part of our new vernacular, terms that we're going to use almost interchangeably, is issues of renewable energy credits, standards to measure electrical savings, emissions allowances, all these different things talking about how we measure energy and how we're able to take and either pay a price for the use of that energy or hopefully receive money back in terms of cap and trade type of issues. I don't want to spend a lot of time on cap and trade. We'll talk a little bit about that later in the presentation when we talk about future. But the point is that we've seen this go from a voluntary, a groundswell effort to now it's coming through in mandatory, it's coming through in regulation and things that we're seeing. Next slide, please. That was last week coming out from the House resolution. Earlier this week, we saw additional action, and now this is not only Congress but also within the administration, that President Obama and U.S. Energy Secretary Stephen Chu announced aggressive plans to promote energy efficiency and save consumers. So this is all over in Washington. We're seeing it right now. This is going to be the ongoing trend. And like I said, it's not just in Congress. We're seeing the agencies too. Next slide, please. And within all of this, these announcements that have happened the last 2 weeks, I think that the kind of the overreaching soundbite that I found in this was made by Secretary Chu. And he said, when it comes to saving money and growing our economy, energy efficiency isn't just low-hanging fruit. It's fruit laying on the ground. I think that establishes an expectation right there that said this is not something that's difficult to achieve. This should be a layup for all of us. And I think the days when we could talk about how hard it was to save energy and how unique healthcare was and the things that we couldn't do, I think those days are rapidly coming to an end. And I think what we're going to see is that those who are on the front edge of this and are doing things from a voluntary standpoint and are really getting their hands around the energy costs that they're using in their facilities are going to be so much further down the road as we start seeing more and more regulation and more things that are directing us to what we're going to do on energy. And like I say, the issue is right there, that this isn't low-hanging fruit. It's fruit laying on the ground, and it's time for us to pick it up. Next slide, please. This one's kind of a long-term look at what's happened to natural gas, and we've seen some fluctuations over the last couple of years. In fact, natural gas prices are down just a bit now compared to what we've seen. But the long-term trend has been dramatically up. And if you look at this graph and you say, okay, going from 1970 to now, it's not hard to visualize the relationship that has to so many of our hospitals. We've got so many hospitals that were built during the Hill-Burton funding era that were built in the late 50s, the 60s, and the 70s, when energy, quite frankly, was cheap. And so the systems were not designed to be energy efficient. There's no reason to, because they were just, you know, like I say, energy was relatively cheap. And so it's not inherent in a lot of the systems that we own, whether it be the building envelopes, whether it be the power plants, whether it be just the way the systems are set up. There's things that we have to do to get them from that Hill-Burton era, where they were not designed to be efficient, to try to take and increase the efficiency as well as optimize the systems that we have. And the bottom line to all this is that energy is just darn expensive. That if we look at some of the national surveys that have been done, they say hospitals spend about $5 billion annually, $5 billion annually on energy costs. And that ranges anywhere from 1% to 3% of the operating budgets. In looking at most hospital operating margins right now, that 1% to 3% represents a healthy operating margin. So you could say what we're spending on energy right now is the difference between hospitals being profitable or not being profitable. And so when you put it in that context, there's a mandate that says that as we're trying to take and bring down costs, as we have all these pressures for health care reform, we've got pressures for CMS funding cutback, all these things we have to do to try to reduce our operations, it feels like energy is truly that fruit that's laying in the ground and needs to be picked up. And so that's really what our E2C program is all dedicated to, is to looking at how we can go ahead and most effectively set strategies and ways to take and pick up that fruit that's on the ground. Next slide, please. Gene had introduced our program, our E2C program, our Energy Efficiency Commitment, and it's exactly that. It's a commitment. This is not something that you do part-time or you do a little bit here, a little bit there. It's really a commitment that an organization makes to trying to take and look at their operations very, very objectively, trying to use measurement tools, trying to set up strategies, and be able to take and identify where are the places where they can wring inefficiency and wasted energy out of the system. And so the program that we've been able to take and establish, and this is done in conjunction with EPA, as well as Department of Energy, and really a lot of folks that are all have the same concerns, that are looking for energy change and energy reductions in hospitals, is trying to get that in front of folks to say, all you have to do is make that commitment. Once you've made that commitment, can we make it as easy as possible for you to keep that commitment? And so the E2C program is about proven strategies. It's about things that people have found that have worked. It's about looking at energy savings tips and tools. It's about taking and looking at what's available education and training that's out there. How do we go ahead and have case studies that are real actions that are taken by real people in hospitals that are making a difference right now? And then once that case study is developed, then how do we share it? How do we make sure there's community learning, there's an exchange of knowledge, that folks are working on this together? And finally, take some credit for it. Have the ability to go ahead and recognition, both recognition on a national level, recognition within the community itself, to say this is tough stuff, but it's absolutely essential that we do everything we can to take and reduce the cost of energy within our hospitals and be good stewards of our environment, and that's worth recognizing. Next slide, please. As part of the recognition program that we've developed, it was to go out there and identify the folks that are doing the best. And by identifying, what I'm saying is using proven techniques. In this case, we use Energy Star's Portfolio Manager to be able to take and benchmark energy savings, be able to take and quantify that, and then once that's done, be able to take and recognize the folks who are truly leaders in this and be able to take and share their stories. And one of those real people that's working in a real hospital right now is Gary Thompson. And Gary was one of the first people to step forward and maximize this opportunity and say, Ashley's got an opportunity here where I can take and work with my facility, I can use information that I'm gaining, I can use good, valid, you know, just key information coming from benchmarking, to be able to take and objectively look at my operations and look for places I can do savings. And what I'd like to do now is turn it over to Gary to talk to us a little bit about what he's done at St. Francis Hospital and Health Systems to go ahead and achieve that 13% reduction in savings and what that's meant to his facility. Gary?
Thank you, Dale, and welcome everyone that's listening in. When I talk about a win-win partnership, it goes beyond just saving energy and money for your facility. And I'll comment on a few things as I go on. This has been a commitment that we started back in 2002 when after I went to the ASHI National Convention down in Nashville, and it's been a commitment ever since. And I will say this program, not only with the Energy Star, but ASHI's C2 program, it is a commitment and dedication to the program because it is a it takes a tremendous amount of work, but you get a tremendous amount of pride into that. Next slide, please. I'm going to give you an overview of the Energy Star that we took and the path that we took every facility is different. And then I'm sure, if, like all the other facility managers that are listening in, that the economy has really hurt all the hospitals. And if, like me, they took a lot of money out of my budget, but they want you to do the same or more and take care of your facility. And this program has really helped. I don't know what we would have been if with the rising cost of gas and electricity and water and things of that nature, what our utility bills would be if we hadn't started this program back in 2002. Next slide, please. And I will tell you, this program is all voluntary, and they will give you more resources than you need, and they will help you out. It's a great strategic and sustainable approach to manage your energy, and it goes beyond, like I said before, it goes beyond energy. It goes beyond other things in the hospital when you communicate with your staff and the organization and the community. Next slide, please. It does strengthen your financial value. For all everybody knows, facilities is always a non-revenue generating department. We always have to find ways to save money because we can't generate no money for the hospital. We always find ways to save energy. It's just like an onion. When you peel one, you got another layer to go. You got another layer to go. You always have to find ways to improve on what you're doing. There's always ways to save money out there. You can never stop when you're in this field. And it demonstrates leadership because your community sees it, your administration sees it, and the whole staff sees it. And once you start that ball rolling, you'll find out that people really get on board and want to help you succeed. Next slide, please. And healthcare, we, 26.5 kilowatts per square foot. That's nearly twice of any commercial building. All the hospitals are 24/7 operation. As Dale mentioned earlier, U.S. hospitals spend more than $5 to $6 billion a year on energy. That's, when I first seen that, I couldn't believe that we spend that much money on energy costs. The significant savings from energy efficiency upgrades are possible. The little things are out there. Next slide, please. And we're going to give you the approach that we took. And maybe help you guys or help others out there that are struggling or want to get started with this program. Next slide. And the commitment to this process is vital. And you really have to commit to it. And you have to communicate that with your staff and administration when you start this process. Because this program takes a lot of data, a lot of benchmarking and research to get it going, but I guarantee it's worth every bit of time you put into this program. Next slide, please. You got to commit to the community improvement. Utilize Energy Star resources to implement a strategic energy management plan. And when you get there, you can. I'm going to go through this whole slide here, and you just read it yourself, pretty much. But we made a commitment to this program, and it's reaped big rewards for us. Next slide, please. We looked at the things we were doing as an organization when we got back, and we seen that our central plant was very inefficient. Our operation, our standards were way outdated. The employees we had, although we were very knowledgeable, we weren't giving them the tools to succeed and what we needed to do. So what we did was we got together and had the best opportunities we needed that we could see that we could fix or attack right away. We wanted to think big, we wanted to do small, and we wanted to learn fast. And that's the approach we took to this whole program. Next slide. Change is hard for a lot. Change is hard when people and staff have been at a facility for a long period of time. Our average tenure here with our central plant people has been 20-plus years. So getting them to change, felt important to communicate with them right off the bat the direction we wanted to go. Your staff and your central plant people are the most important asset that you could have. They know that central plant. They know the ins and outs of that, and their knowledge will greatly benefit you if you just tap into the what they know. Next slide, please. We set goals. We identified what we wanted to do from upgrades and what to be our quickest dollar savers in patient comfort and environmental area. We want to, everybody knows, so we got to go by patient satisfaction scores, physician satisfaction scores, and money. We wanted to attack those areas, and we wanted to do all the small things first that would give us great benefit, and that's the direction we took. Next slide, please. We set our action plan. We got it down. We went through this whole building of ours, our whole hospital and clinics, and we sat down with our central plant staff, and we came up with what we thought was a pretty good plan right off the bat. Next slide, please. We set new standards for operations. We revamped our maintenance programs. We started a whole new maintenance program from scratch. Water treatment program was very, very important to a central plant because you're always using water for heating and cooling. The heat and cooling transfer from a terrible heat chill loop system was cost you tremendously. And I can't stress on how important a water treatment program is to a central plant. And the training to your staff and the communication to throughout the hospital and the community. The water treatment program that I want to talk about is very vital because everyone knows that runs the central plants that if you have terrible heat cooling transfer, it's just going to cost you more and more money. And that's one of the earlier on small things that we attacked. We're using a tremendous amount of money in chemicals, and our cooling towers was not very efficient. Our heat chill loops were not very clean. Next slide, please. And the improvements we did, these are the small ones. You know, we replaced the two boiler burners. They were only getting 30% efficient. The burners we switched to, the last time we checked, we were at 93% on the efficiency. Our high-pressure boiler, we checked that out, and they were running it at 100 PSI, running all the time. We did an evaluation of our hospital and found out that the highest pressure that we have is about 40 pounds of pressure. So we lowered the pressure to 50, and it cut the boiler running time over half. It hardly ever runs now. We don't buy anything. We've got a program in place that doesn't have the Energy Star label. We made that a big plus for the hospital. Replaced all the inefficient lighting, and we installed new controls to manage not only the water temperature and the use, but we used a lot of controls on our old VAV mixing boxes and our old system. Just the small changes on the controls helped us change the temperature and was able to control our central plant downstairs, even with the old chiller that we have. It made a big improvement. And the little things, the steam traps that we went through and checked that were plugged and changed them out, it was this combination of a bunch of little things that add up to big dollar savings to what we did. Next slide, please. And as a result of all the small things, we started seeing big improvements and big money savings. When we first did our benchmarking and our evaluation of our facility, we was at 51. We knew we were low, but we didn't think we were that low. But we started making those improvements and a commitment to this program. And as you can see, we slashed our gas bill in half and our electricity by 17%. And we jumped up to 80% on our rating, or to 80%. Or, excuse me, went from 51 to 92. And then in doing that, we've seen a big, tremendous amount of money savings in our energy costs. But not only that, when the staff start seeing that they start getting small victories every time they did something, it wasn't always a roadblock to stop them. They wanted to do more and do more improvements. Not big improvements, just small improvements. And that kept the ball rolling and got us to do where we were able to purchase and win more equipment or capital dollars for the central plant. Next slide, please. In our first year, we saved over $120,000 in our gas and electric bill. Since 2002, we saved around $800,000 in energy. And these improvements have helped us to win capital projects from other hospitals in our system. And we also has helped us to get capital equipment that we know we would not have received if we hadn't started this program. But this program goes beyond, like I said before, the energy costs, because it helps. It's helped us to win the Missouri Quality Award. It's helped us to get the label that, for the first time, we didn't realize that at first. We was the first hospital in the state of Missouri to win that, to get that label. But it's also helped us win those Missouri Quality Awards. It's helped us to improve our patient satisfaction scores, because on the questions that are on the survey or room temperature, the comfortable of the facility. It's also helped us with physician recruitment. Physicians come in, they see what we're doing, they see the way the central plant looks, they see how efficient we are, we see how happy the patients are, and it's helped us to recruit physicians. Next slide, please. We share these information with everyone, hospital, community. We briefed board members. We went to our community chamber of commerce, and we submitted press releases. And the recognition that you gain and the communication that you do is very important. You need to communicate your successes, because believe me, everyone knows that's listening. Everybody communicates when you fail. So everybody needs to communicate your results, needs to communicate when you have successes. And don't be ashamed to share those with you. So next slide, please. And you can gain a lot of recognition from this, not just a pat on the back. You're building profiles out there. You get the Energy Star label. And I was surprised how many people in the community would walk in the hospital and see the Energy Star label and make a comment about it. The building profile, as I mentioned, the great relationship that you'll have with ASHI and the EPA. The representative from EPA came to our facility for the central region. We had a big press release. Our local utility company came out. We have a great working relationship with them, and we continue to work with them on trying to find ways to save even more energy here. In Northwest Missouri, they have been built three wind energy farms here in the last 2 years. And St. Francis was helped a part of planning that when they were in the planning stage here in Northwest Missouri. We've built three. They're getting ready to build a fourth one. So we're all excited about that, and we're also excited that they could recognize the energy savings and what we've been doing here at the hospital. Next slide, please. And it's a commitment to continuous improvement, because you're never done. You're always trying to improve and save money. And like I said, it goes beyond saving money and energy at the hospital. We use all of we have a collaborative with the Northwest Missouri State University here in Maryville. They got a power plant out there. We use all of our cardboard, all of our clean paper, all of our recyclables go out there, and they have a power plant. And they use all the wood, the pallets, the paper, and cardboard that we send them to power their plant, which saves us money on cost that would go to a landfill. And plus, it helps them save cost and money and energy out there to run their chillers. They use that energy to run their chillers and their heat plant in the wintertime. So we're excited about that commitment that we have with Northwest Missouri State. Next slide, please. And the apply approach, if you see this chart here, and you're in the 50, you need to invest either time and do the small things. Remember, you think big, you do small, and you learn fast. And you just rely on that knowledge that your staff has in that central plant to do this program. And when you get to that reward stage, you'll find out it's just more than saving money and energy. There's a lot of rewards that goes along with this, and with the community and your facility that you're with. Next slide, please. And for each dollar saved in energy performance is equivalent to generating new revenues, $20 for a hospital, $10 for medical offices and nursing homes. And I will guarantee that you guys that start this program and have this financial or in this energy efficiency, you'll get rewarded for it, and you'll reap big rewards for it. And as long as you're committed to this program, it will reap a lot of rewards for you. Next slide, please. Dale.
All right, Gary, thank you so much. That's really what Gary's story is. And there's multiple case studies that are on our website that you've got the ability to take an access to the Sphere website that talk about the kind of successes that we've seen with this program. And like I said, Gary was one of the first adopters. Gary has been extremely gracious in terms of sharing his story and letting folks know that this is not smoke and mirrors. This really works. But it starts and ends with a commitment, and you've got to be able to take and commit your facility to it, commit your staff to it. And then at that point, go ahead and work all the small things that then take and generate into the larger cost savings. And with that in mind, then it goes from energy savings, it goes into recognition, that all of a sudden there's the opportunity to go ahead and be seen in a completely different light by the hospital administration as well as the community, and it just grows from there. In looking at by the numbers, in Portfolio Manager, that's really the engine behind this whole thing. That initially when we first started getting involved in this, and we talked to all the SU membership, and we said, you know, we really need to be doing something more when it comes to helping folks on energy savings, why reinvent the wheel? And I think that almost is a testament to the relationship we have with Premier, and for that matter, the relationship we have with EPA, with the Department of Energy, with a lot of folks that we work together, is nobody wants to reinvent the wheel right now. What we want to do is say, let's take a look and let's take the best in class, the best things that are working out there, and let's try to work with those, and then work with those and refine and do much better. So in this case, the heart of the engine behind the E2C program is the Portfolio Manager, which was designed by EPA, and by the Department of Energy, working in conjunction, coming up with a national rating system where a hospital can go ahead and benchmark and rate their performance. And the idea being is that way there's not three or four different standards out there, five or six different standards, that everybody's looking at the same standard, a 0 to 100 rating, and is able to very, very quickly compare results, whether they be done in the Northeast, whether they be done in the Southwest, whatever. It's normalized for climate, and you've got the ability to go ahead and almost immediately have communication between hospitals, say, okay, my score was so-and-so. What are you guys doing to take an increase your score? And it naturally generates networking and discussion between them. Now, if you look at Portfolio Managed by the numbers, what we've got right now is about 1,400 acute care facilities that are involved in the program. So this is not a Johnny-come-lately. This is not a case where a couple of people are doing it. We've got about 1,400 hospitals are doing it right now. That represents 1.2 billion square feet. So if you're looking for something that has data behind it, it's got a little bit of weight, that's a little bit robust, this is the kind of program you're looking for, that the results that you've got are time-tested, they're tested against a lot of different settings, and can give you good results that identify for you essentially where you need to dig for those savings. Now, since the inception of the program, we've had 37 facilities that have gone ahead and achieved that 10% or greater savings. A lot of them have blown through 10%, have gotten to 15%, have gotten to 20%, and so on. But it started with those initial things to get them to that 10%. And we're seeing each year that number is growing, and we're hopeful that we're going to see this continue to proliferate, where now we're talking about the vast majority of the hospitals in the country have gone ahead and saved at least 10%. If we look at just 2008, we go ahead and kind of timestamp that. Of the facilities that achieved that savings in 2008, their combined total is $4.7 million in savings. And that goes beyond the money, though the money itself is incredibly important. If we looked at it just from an electricity standpoint, that's enough electricity to power 10,000 homes. If we want to look at it from a climate change and a sustainability standpoint, that's enough CO2 emissions to take 11,000 cars off the road. So we're making a bottom line impact when it comes to the operating budget for the facility. We're taking and freeing up electricity on the grid, and we're also making a difference when it comes to greenhouse gases and emissions in the environment. If that's not a triple win, I'm not sure what is. Like, and Gina had introduced the Sphere website before, and you're all familiar with that because that's how you got into the program. Just like that, there's websites all over that are hopefully essentially lightning rods that are trying to as much as possible gather information and put it in one place so it's easily accessible, to try to make this commitment. Once you've made the commitment, make it as easy as possible to get information, to get the resources that you need. To be able to get to our E2C website, that's what I've got listed in the bottom of this slide, is that link will then take you into, or you can go in just from our front door, ashi.org, and go into the facilities area and get immediately to E2C. Next slide, please. This is a little bit hard to read, but what I want to do is give an example of what you'd find when you get into that website itself. If I go over to the upper left-hand corner, we've got certainly the home for E2C, but then beyond that, it kind of steps you through, hopefully in a sequential manner, that says, okay, I'm interested, I want to get started, what are kind of the first steps I need to do to go ahead and get involved in the E2C program? So it's all the logistical things, how to get registered for a program, how to go ahead and access Portfolio Manager, how to set up your account, how to share your information, all those kind of things are in the getting started. From there, it walks into, okay, really the next pieces are, once I've done an assessment of my organization, what are things I can learn from other folks? And this is where the case studies get into. And then the resources, and I highlighted the resources page. What I've got up here is an example of a document that we put together with help from the EPA back in 2002. Then in 2001, we went ahead and surveyed our members, and we said, okay, let's try to identify what are some of the top issues that are causing everybody concern. And one of the things that jumped out is 91% of the respondents said energy is going up, and it's gone up from last year, and it's going to keep going up. This is putting a significant crimp on our operations. We've got to do something with energy. So from that initial survey we did back in 2001, went ahead and put together this energy guidebook. And within this, there's a lot of things that talk about not only just, you know, sampling of data throughout the country, but it gets into things as far as best practices, operational practices, things that you can do. And I'll get into that into a minute. But what we've done is we put together this guidebook. It's on our website. It's free for download. All you have to do is go ahead and pick out what you want, download from it, and it's still a good, relevant tool. One of the things that we found is we continue to survey members every other year or so. We do it in conjunction with Health Facility Management Magazine. But we survey folks, and we ask about what are the things that people are doing right now. And we found that really year after year, it's the same kind of stuff. So it's not like we're creating a bunch of new things. It's just taking the things that we know really well and try to take and refine that. So that's the resources that we've got in there. We also have opportunities for education. I'll talk about that a little bit. Gary talked a little bit about the recognition that's there. We have links to grants and funding. There's almost a wellspring right now where we're seeing a funding coming up through the Recovery Act and some of the other things that are out there. They're making funds available for both capital purchases as well as renovation projects. So that's there. There's an energy cool kit there. There's data management. There's all sorts of resources, almost more resources than you need. But it's the ability to go ahead and kind of pick and choose what are the things that are most appropriate for your organization to go ahead and start to dig in and mine some of these energy savings. Next slide, please. I talked about the survey that we had done back in 2002 and identified that energy savings was foremost on the minds of so many healthcare facility managers that we needed to start digging into and looking at case studies that were out there, trying to take and identify what were the best practices. And our original hope was that we'd be able to go ahead and basically take something that already existed and make that available to folks. And the more we dug into this, the more we realized that there was nothing out there, really, when it came to healthcare energy. There was an article here, an article there, a little snippet there, but there wasn't really a comprehensive source that went ahead and looked into the operations of hospitals today and said, okay, what are you guys doing that it's getting a benefit to you when it comes to energy savings? And so as part of the program that we did in this hospital energy guidebook that I had talked about, and it's on our website for download for free, is to identify what were the operation and maintenance energy strategies. We said, okay, where you really start with, and I think really where Gary had started with too, is you start with operation and maintenance. Do the things that you can do within your staff itself, and then later on the capital money will start to flow. Once you're able to take and identify the savings that you've got, then some of that savings can then be rolled back into the confidence of administration to start funding those projects, and those hurdles that were in your way before in terms of getting funding start to fall away. And so as we went through and talked to a lot of different hospitals, looked at a lot of different operations, we came with some very, very basic things. And on here is the list of kind of almost the top five or six of that top 100. But a lot of it comes down to just looking at your building automation system, the way that it's set up, the way that it's operated, that a lot of times that it's just natural for folks to get a little bit complacent when it comes to operating the systems and not really pushing them too much. Looking at things like your chiller staging, looking at how you're able to take and limit your peak demand, the different things in just the operational systems, the way that your operating engineers run the building, and they're incredibly knowledgeable and they meet They meet the requirements, which is making sure the patients are safe and comfortable, but sometimes doing with a little bit more cushion than what you can eke out of the system. So really looking at how to optimize those building automations is really a great place to start. Over the years, we've seen people invest a lot of money and reap a lot of savings off lighting retrofits. But it's amazing, you still walk through hospitals today, and in certain sections, you find some energy hogs that are there. It's that ongoing commitment that said, we're going to take and hunt down every one of those lighting opportunities we've got and do retrofits and go to the most efficient that's out there. Variable frequency drives, one of the things we identified early on, and we keep coming back to when it comes to moving water through the system and the ability to take and do the climate control in the system, those are things that we're seeing a lot of energy being wasted unless people are able to throttle back and use the VFDs. Just some basic things, very, very non-sexy, non-high-tech kind of stuff. There's just routine cleaning. The boilers, the coils, the cooling towers, all the places where you've got heat exchange to make sure those surfaces are working as efficiently as possible are all things that came up on our first survey. And every time we do the survey again, keep coming back to basic kind of nuts and bolts stuff that reaps a saving. And the same thing with economizer cycles, boiler efficiencies, and so on. All things that don't take capital equipment. Now, certainly there's huge opportunities as hospitals are doing renovation. And before we went through the economic bust, it felt like everybody had at least one tower crane. We were doing incredible amount of construction, incredible amount of renovation. That will come back. And when it does come back, the opportunities with renovation, new construction, are to be able to put in better technology, be able to design better systems through better building envelopes, better power plants, and so on. But so often what we're doing is, even though we have a new section of the hospital, we're still dealing with 1960s, 1950s technology and so on. That has got to be worked, it's got to be improved, it's got to be optimized as best as possible until eventually it's replaced. What I haven't talked about here is like I say, capital equipment, and that's a huge opportunity, and those are things that are emerging, and those are case studies we're doing too. As people are adopting newer technology, those are the things that are coming out here. In addition to, and I'd mentioned the Sphere website, I had mentioned what EPA has on their Energy Star. Also, Department of Energy has just recently launched the Hospital Energy Alliance. And as part of that, a real focus on technology. For instance, one of the areas they're looking at is lighting, more than just lighting retrofits, but some of the newer technology in lighting, particularly when it comes to LED systems, some of the parking lot lights, all those tend to offer a lot of optimism as far as things that we can install once we have the capital dollars behind it. But until then, the O&M is a great place to be able to start. Next slide, please. One of the things that's available on our E2C website, and I had pointed out that we have the training, and this is, once again, a partnership. We can't do it all ourselves, so that's why we work with folks like Premier and EPA and DOE and a lot of other folks to say, let's try to take in as much as possible, pool those resources and make them available to folks. So from our website, as well as from other websites, you can get directly into a lot of training. I've got in here that we've got live web schedule that's up there, just like the program we're going into right now. These occur all the time throughout the country, the ability to take and jump in and listen and learn from what other people are doing. There's also a tremendous amount of things, and through links on our website, you can get to these, to training that's already been done. It's pre-recorded. You can download at your convenience on your schedule. There's self-guided presentations. There's animated presentations. There's all sorts of things that you can take and access. So there's no lack of resources that are out there. I think that if we roll back the clock, 6-7 years ago, the thing that we had found was it was very incomprehensive. It was difficult to go and find the resources. It was difficult to get them into one place. That's no longer the case. Through any number of portals that you can go into, you can take and share from one website to another. You can get into training. There's every opportunity out there for you to get the knowledge that you need to be able to take and share the case studies and the stories that you need to go and make the changes in your operations. Next slide, please. From what we're seeing, the energy pressure is only going to keep going. Even though it feels like we're in a minor respite right now as far as cost goes, that's a minor thing. We know that pressure is going to continue. Certainly what's not going to take up is the pressure for cost containment within facilities. As we're seeing the things with healthcare reform, we're hearing about we need to take $1 trillion, $2 trillion out of the system. That's not new money coming in. That's money that's got to come out of the system as it is right now. And if it doesn't come out of healthcare, direct patient care, it's got to come from somewhere else. And what a statement we can make within our own hospitals to be able to take and offer up energy savings is one of the first places to say, if we're going to take and reduce the cost of healthcare, it starts with the non-patient costs, and one of the first ones is energy. This is a place where we can make a difference. We can work together, make this happen. but it starts with a commitment towards energy savings. Next slide, please.
Okay. Thank you, Dale and Gary. And I'm just going to talk a little bit about the public health impact. If we look at what our energy usage is costing us in terms of the impact on the environment and on public health, this slide summarizes that impact. It's estimated by the Department of Energy that we use about 245 billion kilowatts per hour per year of energy consumption. And this is a summary of a calculation that was done by an online energy impact calculator that's offered by Practice Green Health. And in the footnote of the slide here, I have their website, practicegreenhealth.org. And it kind of shows you where what the pollutants are. This is just a quick summary. And really what the quantity of that is of our overall usage for all of the healthcare facilities in the United States. For example, sulfur dioxide, which, you know, is damaging to trees and crops. Sulfur dioxide, of course, the most susceptible ones to the respiratory effects would be children and elderly, the folks with asthma or cardiovascular disease or bronchitis or emphysema. It's a terrible airborne toxin, and that together with nitrous oxide are emissions that come from power plants. Nitrous oxide combines with to make acid rain, for example, when it combines with sulfur dioxide. So these are a lot of different emissions and partially greenhouse gases that go into our air and really impact our respiratory system and our environment. Carbon dioxide, of course, which is not regulated yet, Dale spoke to the fact that we may see some regulation of the carbon dioxide emissions or even a price tag put on how much you pollute in a cap-and-trade kind of system. We do see that all of the hospitals in the United States collectively release about 174 million tons of carbon dioxide, which really is the primary greenhouse gases. And this energy impact calculator is able to tell us what this translates to into illness and direct medical costs. And it's roughly 2 million respiratory illnesses, for example, and direct medical costs of almost 2 billion. So when you think about trying to reduce, healthcare costs, this is another way to think about the public health impact of the energy we use. Now, it's important to take this home to an individual hospital so that you can actually look at your particular energy use in your local hospital or your hospital system and see what you are impacting in terms of how much energy that you're using. And you can actually enter your kilowatts per hour into the calculator, and if there's any renewable energy in the mix, you can enter that plus your region of the country and come up with an estimate of your impact, both in greenhouse gases and public health impact. And you get a really nice, 10-page report that explains each one of these pollutants and incidents and what they mean and how they were calculated using EPA and Department of Energy data. But what we're trying to achieve here with the ASHA E2C program and Premier's commitment to help hospitals and to promote this 10% reduction is really to see what would it look like if all the hospitals in the country committed to reduce 10% of their energy needs. Now, recognizing that many hospitals are way beyond 10%, but the hospitals that haven't achieved 10% or are just starting on the path, what would it look like nationwide if we had a 10% reduction? Next slide. This slide shows what would happen, what would the public health impact be of reducing the energy use in all the hospitals in the United States by at least 10%. We would reduce roughly 24 billion kilowatts per hour per year. And this slide summarizes what that reduction would be in sulfur dioxide. We'd go from 700 tons to 70 tons, nitrous oxide from 240 tons to 24,000 tons, and carbon dioxide, 17.4 million tons, actually. I don't have the decimal in this one. It would go from 174 million to 17.4. So that's what we would see in terms of greenhouse gas emissions. In terms of respiratory illnesses, roughly 200 incidents and 200 million in indirect costs. So that's what we would actually see if we all reduced our energy use by 10%. The next slide shows you. The next slide shows you a screenshot of the Healthcare Energy Impact Calculator. Again, it's at practicegreenhealth.org. You can go there and enter your kilowatts and what percentage of clean energy you have, what part of the country you have, and you get a very detailed analysis of what your impact would be. This screenshot just shows what it would be for all the hospitals in the United States. And as I said, you get about a 10-page report after this that describes what each of these quantities, pollutants, and incidents and costs relate to, how they're calculated, and what they actually mean. And so those can all be obtained on that Practice Green Health website that you can go to. So I'd like to turn it back over to Dale to talk to us about what we can expect in the future.
Thank you, Gina. In this slide, if this was written 2 weeks ago, it's amazing how much the future has changed in the last couple of weeks. That when we talk about, you know, this has been a voluntary effort up to this point, but at what point in time is it going to become regulatory? Well, if we look at mandatory reporting, in April, the EPA took and released a notice of proposed rulemaking on reporting of greenhouse gases. So that's in the process right now. The issue is how is it going to affect hospitals and to what level? And as part of that reporting, I'd mentioned about cap and trade, the thought being there, and Gina had mentioned that where you're being essentially taxed on the amount of emissions that are out there, that a certain cap would be set on the amount of emissions based on the size of your operation and what the operations that you're in. And then anything beyond that, you would be essentially taxed on, or would have the ability to go ahead and buy energy credits or emission credits and be able to trade those on the open market. But, you know, really kind of the devil's in the detail in terms of what's the system that's going to be enacted. We know a system is coming, but exactly what is that system going to be? But it is going to take and require some kind of mandatory reporting, and there is going to be some kind of emissions cap set. So when that's done, the question then becomes, is that cap appropriate for healthcare and for the business that we're in? And one other side benefit of being involved in doing E2C is that you have the choice to either monitor your data yourself. It's set up as it's all very secure websites, and the only people to see the data is yourself. Or one of the things you can do is different levels of security where you can start taking share that information. The advantage of sharing that information back to ASHI is then we've got the ability to take a look at aggregate totals for the nation. And as the discussions start to heat up as far as what's the emission levels and what should be expected from a hospital, we're dealing with raw data rather than dealing with just speculative, and hopefully get a better chance to get the cap right so that it's something we can all work within as compared to something where we're going to see additional taxes for it. So those are all things that are coming in the future as we move from a voluntary to a more regulated requirement. The one thing for sure that we do know is that energy costs are going to continue to rise. We also know that healthcare funding is going to continue to stabilize or in some cases go down. And we know for sure that we can get bottom line savings for energy efficiency. So from where I'm sitting, it feels like it is truly that fruit that's on the ground that needs to be collected, that we can all take and work to commit to energy efficiency, use the right tools, use the networking, the resources that are available to us, and go ahead and start to see us rolling back the dollars and rolling back the clock a little bit on what our costs are. And Gina, I'd like to turn it back over to you.
Thank you, Dale and Gary. This was a wonderful presentation. I think you learned a lot from this. And can we have the next slide, please? The next slide just basically says, are you all ready for a commitment to reduce energy by 10% or greater, which is what we're going to be trying to achieve going forward, building on what ASHI E2C's program has already done, and Premier is committed to help hospitals achieve that goal of reducing energy by at least 10%. We'd like to just turn it over to questions. This ends our formal part of the presentation, and ask Natasha if she could just give the audience instructions on how to ask a question.
Yes, ma'am. At this time, everyone, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will pause for just a moment to compile the roster.
And while we're waiting for our first question, just to comment now, the ASHI E2C website is a public website, so you can get on there. Is that correct, Dale?
That is absolutely correct. All the stuff that we're doing from an energy standpoint is public. We'd like you to be an ASHI member. You don't have to be an ASHI member.
Great.
It is all publicly accessible.
Great. And the Premier website, of course, is publicly accessible. I just wanted to also remind you, in this energy series, we do have a number of audio conferences that you can download. They're all 60 minutes. In addition to the wonderful information that Gary gave us today, we have a program, for example, from Geisinger, Al Neuner, talking about how they save $3 million a year with their energy efficiency. and item by item, each of the solutions and strategies that they implemented and how much they were able to save, breaking them down by solution for some ideas, and some ideas for how you can fund it as fund various strategies. Do we have a first question, operator?
Yes, ma'am. You have a question from the line of Muhammad Abaza.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I have a question with regards to the benchmarking using Energy Star. I mean, we do benchmarking here also, but we use energy modeling as far as our benchmarking tool. And I think as far as energy modeling is concerned, I mean, you're able to include a lot more parameters, which you can't include in the Energy Star benchmarking tool as far as, you know, operation schedules, building schedules. It's a whole hourly simulation of the entire facility. And what you can also do with the energy modeling is implement all your ECMs, which are your energy conservation measures, one by one to show their effect and to show the life cycle cost analysis. So is that something you would consider using in lieu of the Energy Star benchmarking?
Well, this is Dale, and I think that the one real advantage of the Energy Star benchmarking is the fact that well, I guess two, is one that it's open source, it's easily available, it's free to everybody who wants to do it, and we have a tremendous amount of data in there right now. And I think that, as you said, that there's other modeling software out there that may be more robust, may be able to be tweaked a little bit better. But what we're really looking for is the ability to try to have an even playing field for all the folks that participate in the program. So I wouldn't say the Energy Star certainly is the only program out there, and it may not necessarily be the best one that's out there, but it works really well when we're trying to take a look at 5,000 hospitals across the country and get an apples-to-apples comparison. It works incredibly well for that.
Okay. I mean, we use both. I mean, over here we've used Energy Star. We do Energy Star, but we also use the energy modeling capability as, you know, using ASHRAE 2004 and 2007. Because I'm not sure if Energy Star has moved to 2007, or they're still using ASHRAE 2004 as far as their base case.
I believe
when it comes to energy consumption.
And I'm not positive, but I believe they're still on 2004. I know there is discussion about taking in literally what's the next version of Energy Star. And I think that certainly you're to be commended and applauded for taking and using multiple tools to look at your energy. I think that really it's almost that first step that said, you know, if Energy Star is your entry point into to looking at energy modeling and energy savings in your hospital, it's only going to lead to better things.
Okay. Makes sense. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Michael Thiessen.
Go ahead, Michael.
This is also just pertaining to the energy performance and the benchmarking. Gary, you had mentioned that you did a first benchmark and you were at 51 and ended up at a 92. So one is able, I'm fortunate enough that we have a relatively new facility, my first power plant, 13 years old, second power plant, which was actually a much better designed central plant. Is relatively 3 years old. So, Gary, you talked about that first benchmark and then the second one, or you finally got to a 92. So can one do this benchmarking with the just what one has right now? Because I'd like to kind of know, that would give me a benchmark of where we are.
I tell you, my facility here was built in 1968. What we decided when we looked at our facilities, we seen a lot of things that we could do ourselves in-house that didn't take capital dollars that tremendously impacted the way the central plant ran. And as every facility is different, of course, and each one has to evaluate how they did that. And we did things the way we ran it, the hours we ran it. We evaluated just about everything we could think of within the facility. And with those little victories, we ended up, when we remarketed and redid that thing with Energy Star, we were shocked to see how much we did improve. And it was a lot of hard work, a lot of time, and a lot of dedication to make those changes. But everyone's seen the rewards, and it just got better from there.
Thank you.
Just a comment. When you're looking at broadcasting and sharing your success, you know, the energy impact calculator, looking at the public health impact, when you do reduce your energy needs, that's a wonderful message that you can give to your community about not only did you reduce your energy usage, but what does that translate to as far as public health impact? So that's a very nice message to share.
And I want to tell you one, and I want to tell you one thing. We also we picked one particular area in the hospital, and we started there, and we worked around. We took the most impacted area of the hospitals that the central plant provided, and that's where we started. And it's really worked well for us in that sense.
Great. How many questions do we have on the line, operator? Waiting.
Here's the last question in queue.
Okay. Let's take that question, and that'll be our last question.
Mr. Thiessen was the final question.
Oh, that was the last question,
yes.
Too. Okay.
Yes.
Well, that concludes our program. We'd like to thank everybody on the line for participating in the program. Again, as I mentioned, you'll get an email tomorrow that tells you how to access the recording of this if you want to share that with your colleagues. And that'll also give you a link to a very short survey about what you heard, asking for your opinions on what we might have future programs on. Future programs will be on the Advisor Live website at premierinc.com. I'd like to ask the faculty to stay on the line, and we thank you all for your participation, and we hope you have a terrific rest of your afternoon. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.